Chicago. This is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by a panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Philip Beverly, Amara Enya, Jennifer Nevins, Christine Svensson, Carl Cannon, and Emily Gooden. Our program tonight coming to you from the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. Nice to have you with us. Our phone line's open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email me a comment, it's brucedumont@museum.tv. If you want to tweet me a comment, it's @Dumo. And again, you can join us on the World Wide Web, audio and video, each and every week. And it is beyondthebeltway.com. And again, we have 9 days to go before Election Day. And of course, the big bombshell that was dropped last week by the FBI Director James Comey, saying that because of some investigation that's going on with former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, they've discovered some new information that they want to include in an ongoing investigation into Hillary Clinton and her emails. It has absolutely rocked the political world, both Republicans and Democrats. It obviously seems to be somewhat of a lifeline to Donald Trump. And again, the Clinton campaign has charged that the FBI director now should come forward with all of the information that he knows and not leave everyone in suspense. But again, part of the suspense, it comes with the latest polls, and a sort of dramatic new poll from ABC Washington Post came out today. It has Hillary Clinton at 46%, Donald Trump at 45%, Gary Johnson at 4%, and Jill Stein at 2%. Now, what's interesting is you look a little bit deeper in that poll. We always want to know, is are Democrats supporting Democrats and are Republicans supporting Republicans? Well, Donald Trump now seems to have amassed, at least according to that poll, 87% of the Republican vote, those that identify themselves as Republican. Hillary Clinton has identified 88% of those that identify themselves as Democrat. That is a 5-point increase since 1 week ago by Donald Trump. So there's movement towards Donald Trump. Now, also, this I think is perhaps one of the most startling statistics. Again, Hillary Clinton a week ago was leading with independents. She was up 8 points with independents. Donald Trump now is up 19 points. That huge shift in 1 week. And this poll was taken before the revelations of late Friday, or the news late Friday, of James Comey. So it is a dramatic piece, and also on sort of on the future of the Republican Party. 66% of Republicans who were surveyed said they do not like the idea that Speaker Paul Ryan has decided not to campaign with Donald Trump. So these are sort of revealing pieces of information that have come out in this poll. And again, Philip Beverly, I want to turn to you, and whether you want to talk about the poll or you want to talk about the Comey decision, let's maybe focus on that. The Comey decision, how much of a potential game changer is it? Or is it just too much too late to help Donald Trump?
I don't know that it's too much too late. It could be a game changer if we knew what the contents of the emails in question were. And we don't, because the FBI hasn't been able to secure a warrant to look at what the emails are. So it seems like there's a lot of there, and maybe there's nothing there. I just wish they would have come out with, here's what it is, so voters could have some solid evidence to
now,
say.
Now, Kellyanne Conway said today she agrees with the Democrats, and the information should be put out there. Jennifer Nevins, you're our card-carrying Trumpster tonight. Do you think that the evidence should just be put out there? I mean, is this unfair to Hillary that this is – It raises the specter of speculation and wild conspiracy theories?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. News just broke that the FBI was indeed granted a warrant by a judge to take a look at that information. So that's one thing. It's happening really fast. I think that really fits in with the fact that they know they need to act now. They do want to get the information all out there. I think that the information needs to get out there. But the ironic thing is Huma knows and Anthony Weiner know what's on these laptops. And when Robbie Mook was asked, has Hillary asked Huma about what's on the laptops or on the laptop? He said, no, they haven't been in conversation about it. And that's really strange because she can find out what is on that laptop by just making that inquiry of her, not even bringing the FBI into it.
Amara Enya joins us. She's a Democrat. Amara, nice to have you with us. You've been a Bernie Sanders supporter in the past. What do you make of the James Comey decision and the political ramifications of it?
Well, I thought the timing was interesting. It actually struck me that he might be trying to cover himself in the lead up to the election, and I think that's why the timing is what it is. I do think that I thought it was interesting that the Hillary Clinton campaign was calling for full disclosure and full transparency on what could be brewing. However, if we look back at what happened with the previous email scandals, the whole issue with her was the fact that there was a lack of forthrightness and a lack of transparency. So it just seemed interesting that they're really fervent about being very clear and open and transparent about what this newest scandal is, but we did not get that from the beginning of these email scandals to begin with.
Christine Svensson, you join us. You're a Republican. You're a reluctant Trump supporter. You're going to vote for him, but again, you're also an attorney. What do you think about the letter that James Comey sent, and was it fair the way it was released?
I believe that it was fair, but there's a deeper question. James Comey botched this entire thing from the beginning because he laid out to Congress the case in chief, basically came to the conclusion that she was negligent, which is all that's needed, and then said,
reckless.
Right. We chose not to bring this to a grand jury for no apparent reason at all, because that's the exact process that a prosecutor, or I'm sorry, that an FBI director would do. He would give this to a grand jury. So that was a huge mistake. I believe that James Comey now knows that was a huge mistake, and that it is true. He was presented this evidence just this week. It was on Thursday, I believe, and then he immediately wrote this letter to Congress on Friday. So it's almost like he's trying to save himself because he knows what a colossal mistake that he made.
Well, he also said when he testified to Congress, when they called him in to ask to explain himself, he did say that he would provide new information if it ever became apparent. And in this particular case, the investigation of Anthony Weiner led to something that so he wanted to go back again, cover his own rear end, to go back and say, wait a minute, here's some latest information. Mm-hmm. But you think he should have held off on that a little bit, Philip?
I think he should until there's more to reveal so we can look at the substance of what they're looking at. Right now, it could be anything, and Hillary can't call Uma to say anything. It could be witness tampering in an ongoing investigation like that.
So in other words, Hillary, you don't think could ask Uma to release all the information?
I think Uma could give her a clue as to what's being investigated right now. And I think if I were Hillary Clinton, I would certainly call her and ask her, at least if she really doesn't know what this is about, I would, of course, call because I'm curious. But I also think that Comey did not want the weight of, because I agree that he did botch the first part of the investigation. And I think he was thinking about the election and having the weight of having mishandled the situation from beginning to end. And maybe he didn't want that burden on him.
Yeah. It's ironic, because here he was so trying to stay out of politics, and I think that's why he made the decision not to recommend a prosecution. But yet he inserted himself in a huge way into the political process.
Well, and then you have the news. A former U.S. attorney, last name DeGenova, is saying that there's an internal revolt going on in the FBI,
right,
and that they were kind of forcing his hand. Either you come out with this or we're going to do a mass resignation. He didn't want that to happen.
I want to talk more about that and also the ramifications. This is an ongoing investigation, according to what the director said, which means that come Election Day, if the American people vote for Hillary Clinton and elect her president, is there a cloud over her on day one from her own Justice Department? 1-800-723-8029. I'm Bruce Dumont, live from Chicago.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night on Antenna TV.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us. If you are a longtime listener or viewer of this program, you know that from time to time when federal justice matters come up, we invite a guest, Patrick Cotter, to join us. He is now a defense attorney. Once upon a time, he was the assistant United States attorney for Brooklyn. He is most noted for the man that led the investigation that got John Gotti convicted, the head of the New York crime family. Patrick joins us tonight. Pat, nice to have you with us on Beyond the Beltway. And I want to get your reaction to the decision on Friday of James Comey to release this letter and the havoc that it has thrown into the presidential race.
Well, hello, Bruce. It's good to be with you. My reaction is that it's extremely, extremely difficult for me to understand how this could possibly be justified. It is completely against DOJ policy. We never identify people who are simply going to be the subject of an investigation. We never announce investigations directed at people. It's unfair. It's unethical. It's borderline criminal. If he's referring to information that he learned about through a grand jury proceeding, there's a federal law that makes it a felony to reveal that. It's just let me put it this way. We ended up indicting John Gotti for multiple murders and running the biggest organized crime organization in America, and we never did that. We never did that. We waited until we had a case, and we filed an indictment, and then we announced it. So it's just beyond me to understand why he would do this. And I'll say this. I seriously, if I could question Mr. Comey, if I had one question to ask him, I'd ask him, have you ever done this before in your career? And I know the answer. The answer is he never has.
What do you think is going on then? You've laid out the case that there may be some illegality here. Why would he do it, Pat?
I just can't figure it out. Mr. Comey is a professional. He's experienced. He knows he's never done this before. The only thing I can imagine, and this is speculation that I've frankly read other people engaging in, which is that he feels that he is worried that if he doesn't announce this, that he's going to look at some additional emails written by other people to other people, that he might be accused later of engaging in some sort of cover-up because he didn't bring it out before the election. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, as I tried to indicate earlier, that is not a valid law enforcement reason to accuse somebody in this way, to bring them under suspicion in such a heavy-handed way, simply because you're worried that at some later point in history, your actions, if you follow the rules and do what you normally do, might be criticized. So I can't read his mind, but I've never heard of such a thing. I've never heard of this in my life, and I cannot understand it.
Can you explain to the audience how in the investigation is going on through Anthony Weiner? There are agents that are working specifically on that case. It appears mm-hmm. that those who were working on that case may have seen something that raised a red flag with them that it could relate to another case. And we had a judge today offer a decision was made today that now the FBI can investigate, or at least a different FBI team of investigators, as I understand it, can now look at what's in Anthony Weiner's on his laptop, which is Amma Ooman's laptop as well, or she shared it with him. So explain the investigative line of demarcation or difference, rather, when someone is investigating a crime.
Well, what I would say, Bruce, is this. When you're investigating a crime, any crime, when you're an investigator, you follow the evidence, and evidence that you originally obtained because you think it's going to lead to one place, once you look at it, it may lead you somewhere else. There's nothing unusual about that. There's nothing strange about that, and there's nothing wrong with that. So the fact that FBI agents looking at Mr. Weiner have looked at emails and they say, huh, I wonder if any of these, because they're coming from somebody, some of them are coming from somebody in the Clinton campaign, I wonder if any of these have relevance to that other investigation we carried out before. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not suggesting that anybody shouldn't follow the evidence. What I'm suggesting is that and God knows all investigators do that. I did that. You don't make an announcement. You don't send a letter to Congress and say, oh, I just wanted you to know I'm going to start following the evidence in this direction and see if it leads anywhere. I mean, it is so incredibly unfair. It's also just not good investigative tactics. We don't usually announce to Congress where we're looking for evidence and what we might be looking into. That's not really what a good investigator does.
Christine Svensson is here. You know, she is an attorney. She has a question for you, Pat.
So, Mr. Cotter, it seems to me that Mr. Comey's protocol in the first place was so unusual when he, you know, went in front of Congress and explained the whole case. And I believe that his reasoning for this most recent letter was, well, I felt obligated because I went in front of Congress in the first place to keep them fully apprised. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
Okay.
It simply doesn't. If you're following a real lead, we have to take him at his word. We have to take him at his word that somebody in the FBI sincerely believes that this might be evidence that is relevant to something. Relevant to Mr. Weiner, relevant to who knows who. You don't announce that publicly, certainly not before you read the evidence, you look at the emails, and you figure out where it leads. I've never heard of a case, and God knows, I don't know every case in the history of the United States, but I've never heard of a case that you reported to Congress on an ongoing basis as to every lead you got.
Do you agree
it's crazy.
Do you agree that it was unusual in the first place for him to go in front of Congress to apprise them about his investigation and
or his public press conference?
Or his press conference, right.
The both were extraordinarily unusual, but the press conference was far more unusual. Look, if you work for the government and Congress orders you to appear, you appear. And I suppose that he could say, look, I was ordered to be there by Congress. They asked me questions. I felt I had to answer honestly. But in his press conference, I will tell you, I've indicted a lot of people. I've defended a lot of people. And I've run into some prosecutors who I thought were pretty hard, and I was a pretty hard prosecutor. But the idea that at a press conference where you're announcing that you do not have enough evidence to indict somebody, that's extraordinary in and of itself. I have never done that in my career. I don't know many prosecutors who have. But to then go beyond that and make criticisms of the judgment perhaps motives of the person who you've just admitted you don't have enough evidence to charge, I have never seen a prosecutor or anybody in law enforcement, certainly on the federal level, engage in that kind of activity. Pat, I thought it was just beyond the pale.
Pat, one of the things, again, because you've worked in the Justice Department for a long time, you've worked years with FBI agents in working on investigations and making cases. One of the rumors, and I want to stress it is a rumor, that there are some, maybe several, disgruntled FBI agents who are furious that there was not an indictment, and that maybe Comey is responding here because he knows there's potential rebellion, and maybe there would have been a press conference or several high-ranking resignations at the FBI, and this was to short-circuit that. I stress, this is purely rumor, but tell me what's going on, in your opinion, within the higher structure of the FBI.
Well, let me say this about the FBI. I spent many years working with the FBI, and I have spent many years in private practice where oftentimes I find myself, in a sense, on the other side because I defend people that the FBI is investigating sometimes. Let me say this. The vast majority of FBI agents I have ever encountered in either context are people of the highest integrity, and they are patriots, and they love this country, and they understand the law, and they do their best to carry out their duties in an honest, patriotic way. It doesn't mean I always agree with them. Reasonable, patriotic people can disagree from time to time. And it doesn't mean that sometimes zealousness might not get the better of any of us. But it is very hard for me to believe that any significant number of experienced FBI agents would insist in some sense that they were so unhappy that there wasn't a judgment was made by the prosecutors. Remember, the FBI never, ever makes the decision who to charge with a crime, ever. It is simply not their role. The prosecutors do. It is just very hard for me to believe that FBI agents in any significant number would feel so unhappy with the prosecutor's decision not to bring charges that they would essentially stage some sort of palace coup and force the director to take actions that are unethical and completely contrary to FBI tradition and protocol. I just find that it's much harder for me to believe that multiple FBI agents, particularly high-ranking FBI agents, would take such a just completely contrary to their oath and their training position than to believe that Mr. Comey, for some reason of his own, has decided to do this.
Patrick, we are out of time. I thank you very much for joining us tonight. One last, give me a five-second answer. Does Hillary Clinton deserve to have all that evidence presented to the American people before they vote?
I think if you're going to make an accusation, you got to stand by it. And if he's made this accusation, he has an ethical and a moral duty to give her an opportunity to respond.
Okay, thank you very much. That's Patrick Cotter, former assistant United States attorney in Brooklyn, New York. He is the man that led the charge and led the investigation and sent John Gotti to prison for a long, long time. I'm Bruce Dumont, back from Chicago.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels. Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Mr. Dumont back in Chicago, thank you very much. Before we continue our conversation, let me mention that next Sunday night is the last Sunday night before everybody votes, or at least Election Day. A lot of people are voting now. 20 million people have already voted. But next Sunday night, we will do this show live, remote, from Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin. There's going to be an audience if you'd like to come and participate in the broadcast. Sunday, November 6th, from 6 to 8 p.m. All you have to do is let us know that you're coming. RSVP at carthage.etu. RSVP at carthage.edu. We've got Republicans, we've got Democrats, all stripes of Republicans. They'll all be there, studio audience at the campus of Carthage College, and we hope that you can join us next Sunday night if you're within the sound of my voice in the great Midwest. Jennifer Nevins, I want to get back to you. You're our Trump supporter. Your response to Patrick Cotter's sort of blistering indictment of James Comey. And by the way, we should mention that Patrick Cotter, again, he has tremendous credentials within the Justice Department, the guy that got John Gotti. He was appointed by a Democratic president. Should mention that. But go ahead.
Well, I'd like to respond to one thing that Mr. Cotter was saying about how these agents may be, if the rumors are to be believed that there was going to be some kind of rebellion within the FBI, that they were upset about the decision he made. And I think it's a little bit different than that. We've heard from a lot of former FBI agents and former assistant directors who have said, we resent the politicizing of our agency. You know, we're accustomed to looking at this like we're apolitical. And now, because there was such an overwhelming amount of evidence about Hillary Clinton's handling and this server that she had that she wasn't supposed to have. And he said himself, Comey said himself, that it was a reckless and careless handling of this information. When he came down.
But it did not violate the law. He did say that.
Right. It didn't violate the law, but that no he didn't necessarily say it didn't violate the law. He said that no prosecutor, no reasonable prosecutor would bring this to a jury, would take this case. And I think there was a lot of doubt whether or not that indeed would have been the case, and people resent it within the
Bill
FBI.
Bill Beverly, your response to what Patrick Cotter had to say.
I think he's entirely right. This is unprecedented in asking the question, have you ever done this before? Then what has changed in the field that you would do it now, given it's 10, 11 days prior to a presidential election, which has gotten worldwide attention?
Because of what he said, though, and this was before going to the last break, I raised this possibility. She could be elected president of the United States. He is going to be the FBI director for several more years. It was a 10-year term. Mm-hmm. So, and there is this ongoing investigation. It's not likely to be done by, you know, a week from Tuesday. So you have the situation where the head of the FBI would be working with the president-elect and then ultimately the president of the United States, and she could still be under investigation. What does that do to her ability to govern?
I don't know.
Your reaction to Morris.
I don't know that the FBI would necessarily be doing the investigation as much as a special prosecutor being appointed would do that kind of investigation. And if I was going to set an over-under, I'd give that guy less than 12 months if Hillary gets elected of him remaining on the job. I think he pretty much sealed his professional end of his FBI career
on
Friday.
But he doesn't have to step down.
No, he doesn't. I think there'll be an enormous amount of pressure, both seen and unseen, for him to step
Amara,
down.
What do you think of what Philip just said?
Well,
James Comey is going to pay a price for this if Hillary gets elected. That's what I just heard you say. And also, we've heard Donald Trump say that Hillary Clinton could pay a price for what she's done if he's elected. I mean, so we already have the Justice Department, the FBI, its investigative, both parties here could turn that agency into a part of the political team.
Yes.
That's horrible for this country.
Well, I think it's definitely this entire election season has been unprecedented. And I think that has trickled over to the agencies as well. And that, to me, explains some of the way that this particular investigation was handled from the very beginning. Again, I suspect that he has some reservations about his handling of this case from the very beginning, even from the press conference that happened earlier this year up until now. And I think the specter of what might happen after the election, if he did not come out with these recent allegations concerning the emails, I think that was what was looming in the back of his mind, which has caused him to do some things that he has never done before and that has really not happened before. I do think that what this does, if the investigation continues after the election and if Secretary Clinton wins, is it does undermine her legitimacy as president and presents another set of challenges to a candidate that already was struggling with being seen as legitimate, as
incredible,
truthful and trustworthy and credible.
Christine, do you agree with that?
I think Amara is right. I also believe that there is something to these emails and that Comey would not have come out with this unless there were. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's just,
hasn't seen them yet.
I don't know about that. Right. I don't know that's true.
Well, but they
only got the warrant today. So if he did see it, he saw it illegally.
Right. But if he was briefed on it, he says that he was briefed on Thursday by his agents. And you know, maybe WikiLeaks has come into play in this.
I suspect, though, that if it was something where it was just minuscule, mm-hmm. that it wouldn't rise to the level where he would believe that days before the election he needs to come out with these allegations. Right. I do think that there's a strong chance that there is something tangible there that he believed is significant enough for him to make this kind of statement right before an election.
I agree with that, because the agents that are working on that case, that initially, the New York agents working very focused on the Wiener aspect of this, if they saw something, mm-hmm. I don't think they would go to their boss and say what they obviously have said to him if they didn't have more evidence, even though he is not officially received the warrant to look into that.
Right, and there's another,
but some agents have looked at it.
Right, well, there's another piece of this too. If this information came from the NYPD and they were investigating Anthony Weiner's device, and that's kind of how this all came about, if they came across some crimes, who knows what's in these 33,000 emails that are still out there? Maybe this is part of that. If they came across something like that, they are under no obligation to listen to the DOJ or the FBI. They can release this on their own themselves. They might have come, this is speculation, but they might have gone to James Comey and said, we will release this information in the way we see fit unless we're just giving you a heads up. And he might have said, hold on, I need to get back into this picture.
Well,
we don't
also,
really
they,
know what's going
all,
on there.
It seems to me that the smoking gun here is whether or not on the new email information that's on Weiner's email laptop,
right,
whether or not UMA had some communication one way or the other that involved classified
right
information. That could end up on the husband
right
of someone who had a security clearance, and I doubt whether Anthony Weiner had that security clearance.
Absolutely. And they shared a laptop, which is another puzzlement that you have to ask yourself, what in the world was going on there? That they're sharing a laptop and she's downloading information, communiques, you know, government information.
Well,
on
she
that laptop.
She downloaded it because Hillary wants every email. She wanted a print
printed
copy. And the best, the easiest way to print it was on his email.
Which is so just sent it to her house.
What a ridiculous
account.
This is ridiculous.
So she wants Hillary wanted a paper trail.
So get your own laptop, Huma. What's going on? I don't know.
Well, we
well,
have
maybe
us.
She had it. Anyway, let's go to Roselle, Illinois. Brian is listening to us on WCGO, our flagship. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, good evening, guys. Yeah, I think the whole conversation is to be focused back on the Clinton circle, Hillary, Huma, and all the others. Huma was granted immunity, some type of an immunity deal that we don't know about, and part of that deal might have been that she was supposed to turn over all devices that had email on them, and she didn't,
right,
obviously, now. So she violated the immunity agreement. I mean, there's been all kinds of legal gymnastics that have just exceeded imagination. I mean, the legal horsepower put behind Hillary Clinton is just off the charts. They've used every method and means for her to wiggle out of this problem, but she still keeps getting stuck in it. And, you know, this could be explosive. I mean, if there's classified information on a computer that Anthony Weiner has that he's sexting teenage girls with, I mean, it's unbelievable how bad that is.
Thank you. You're absolutely right. And this is something I said a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to repeat it again. And if you're listening to the show, you know I voted for Republicans. I voted for Democrats since I began voting back in 1960. The proudest – I'm sorry, 1968 is when I first voted. The proudest vote I ever cast was in 1972 for George McGovern. I believed George McGovern during that campaign when he said that Richard Nixon was the most corrupt president in the history of this country. And you know what? I believe Donald Trump today. Hillary Clinton has surpassed Richard Nixon. But I believed George McGovern in 1972. And what followed when the vast majority of the people went with Richard Nixon, what they were saddled with, years of legal action against the president, including the ultimate impeachment. All the stuff that came out from 1972 until 74 when the president was finally forced out of office. Every single day, it was about the legal problems of the president of the United States. And I got to tell you right now, when we're 9 days away from the election, that is exactly what this country is going to look forward to if Hillary Clinton is elected president of the United States. We're going to spend a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. Anything that's on her agenda, it ain't going to get done. This country is going to be focused on her legal problems if she's elected a week from Tuesday. On that note, back shortly from Chicago, 1-800-723-8029. From coast to coast and border to border, I want your reaction to what I just said. You may be driving off the road with what I just said, but I want your reaction. Is there anything I've said that you think is wrong about what's going to happen if Hillary Clinton is elected president of the United States? Back shortly from Chicago.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels. Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Back in Chicago, Philip Beverly, your response to my little tirade. Am I right or wrong?
I think that Hillary does run the risk of invalidating from the beginning her presidency if this doesn't get cleaned up in some good way. And Donald Trump isn't going to be blameless because there's going to be the non-investigative allegations of all sorts of personal misconduct 20 years ago, 5 minutes ago, whatever, that would be hanging over his presidency.
Right.
I mean, the reality is this is the worst of American politics. These are the two best candidates we would have to lead the free world. I'm still struggling with that.
Amara.
This is characteristic of her campaign since it started, and quite frankly, since 2008 when she was also running for president. There has not been a time that I can recall that she has been free from scandal, or that there has not been some cloud of scandal over anything that she has attempted to do. I do believe that if she wins, that this will be front and center for her, that it will be a cloud that will be a distraction from the agenda that she's pushing, and it will do a disservice to the American people, which is unfortunate. I mean, I can completely
see that parallel.
Do
you agree with Patrick Cotter? And by the way, I will add myself to this as well. I mean, this is unfair to her. I believe this is unfair to her. So everything that's in that file, the Wiener, that should all come out. It will be messy, but there's enough reporters to look through that for the next 9 days, so that she's not being smeared with something that she's not responsible for.
Yes, I mean, she has the right to be able to respond to whatever these allegations are. And I think the quicker they can come out with more details that can give her an opportunity to respond, the better. However, I do think that the damage has already been done. I think that the questions around her credibility and legitimacy exist now. If she wins, they will exist when she's in the Oval Office.
Jennifer, in your opinion, Donald Trump has said that he would investigate her mm-hmm. if he became president. Is that a good investment of his time? If he was elected president, would mm-hmm. you want him to investigate Hillary Clinton to the fullest?
If she has committed crimes, if the Clinton Foundation has committed crimes, already stuff has come out about Bill Clinton, without a shadow of a doubt, enriching himself from that charity to the tune of $66 million. If there is evidence of crimes, I think that is a worthwhile pursuit. As messy as it is. If it's going to be speculative, if it's going to get tangled up into the weeds, I think that there are more productive uses of his time when he first gets into office.
How does the rest of the world, Christine, look in this, regardless of who wins? The other side could be investigating them. What does it say about this country to the rest of the world? Is it a positive thing to say, or is it a negative? Is it a positive thing to say that even the strongest, most powerful people in the United States can be investigated, could be indictment, and could go to jail, which a lot of Trump people want her to go to jail? Would that be good for the country as we're on a showcase, as we're showcasing ourselves and our system to the rest of the world?
Are you talking about if Trump were president and he suggests that Hillary be investigated?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, he can come up with whatever theories he wants. It's not up to him to decide whether or not she should be investigated.
I would say it's both ways. Because to the rest of the world, if Hillary Clinton gets elected and there is an independent assessment and they come to a decision that she should be indicted, well, does that play to the strength of the country that even the President of the United States can be indicted? Is that a plus? It certainly is an embarrassment.
It's an embarrassment.
But is it a plus to the rest of the world that even in the United States, you can't be too rich, you can't be too powerful, we can get you.
It makes us look weak, but it also shows that we clean house. But let me say this, though. What we're losing sight of is she is currently under criminal investigation. That's what Comey's letter said. So she is until she isn't. So that's a foregone conclusion that she's under criminal investigation.
I think that it does. So if Donald Trump wins, I think he takes this off of his plate. This is not the issue that I would want him to spend his time and energy and attention focusing on, especially because the challenges that we're facing in this country, I think, deserve to be front and center. Secondly, it's just from a standpoint of looking at this internationally, when other countries have issues of corruption, the United States lauds presidents who go in and clean house, when they investigate the previous administration, when they root out those corrupt actors in those governmental bodies. Oh. So I think there is some good, because it shows that we're committed to rooting out corruption regardless of who the person is. But I would not want to have the president, if it's President Trump, spending time and energy and focusing the light on that when we have so many other challenges we need
to face. Let's go to Greg in Schaumburg listening to us tonight. Go ahead, Greg, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm going to make these points very quickly.
Quickly.
First of all, relative to Mr. Potter, when he was on your show 2 years ago with a panel and they were discussing essentially only the email dimension of it, I can tell you categorically that they are technologically deficient to understand what is really going on here. Essentially, by Hillary bypassing the government system, which was BlackBerry at that time, and it was BlackBerry for a specific reason, which I won't go into it, literally every single email that Huma was a part of is on that computer, including the ones that got erased. And not only that, they're on every single other computer throughout the entire country, because, see, the way BlackBerry works is an email is contained within the system. That's why they do it. By she end rounding it, the emails are all over the place. That's the reason Assange is having a field day presenting these things. That's point number one. That is indisputable. Phil Beverly, don't go at it. Secondly, as it relates to the conjecture, if there was a pressure on Comey, i.e. that airplane trip with Bill Clinton, say, don't you dare do this, and he can only say, I can't present it because of intent. That is so darn weak in view of all of this. He's dead right in coming to the country and presenting it, and Cotter's wrong. Thank you.
Okay. Philip, do you want to comment?
It's his job to oversee the agency that investigates. It's the U.S. attorney's job to decide if it's going to be prosecuted or not. Mm-hmm. Let's let the system work.
The system will continue. This program will continue. We're going to pause right now. And when we come back in the next hour, we're going to hear from two veteran reporters for RealClearPolitics.com, one of the great political sites in this country. And we're going to get some insight into what's happening not only in D.C. this week, following the James Comey revelation on Friday, but also we're going to look at some of the key battleground states and see how this campaign is rolling on. I'm Bruce Dumont. Don't go away.
Everyone loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder-soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe. Catch fresh fish for dinner. Even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
The beauty of Amlink's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained, and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlings now at 888-880-TREE.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels. Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Dumont back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. 1-800-723-8289 is the phone number. And we are now joined from his palatial home in Washington, D.C. by Carl Cannon. He is the Washington Bureau Chief for Real Clear Politics. Carl, nice to have you with us on Beyond the Beltway.
Sure. I'm actually inside the Beltway. So.
Oh, that's right. Well, we're gonna counterpoint it with this. But also, by the way, if you do not read Real Clear Politics every day, you're not really a political junkie. And I will say, Carl, I don't want to see you blush on the radio. But again, you really the pieces that you put together every day, your reports from inside the Beltway are just terrific. You have a historical perspective that you always add every day to bringing people up on what's happening in contemporary politics. So as a regular reader, I think you're terrific. But let me ask you this question. What has the reaction been inside the Beltway to the James Comey letter of last week?
Well, you know, the Democrats have all, they're reading from the same hymnal, you know. It's election season. And they've now declared war on Jim Comey, this guy they thought was this great statesman, probity like no other FBI director in history, this greatest guy when he said that there's no reasonable prosecutor would bring this case against Hillary Clinton. Then 48 hours later, the Democrats now, you know, he broke the law, he's a rogue guy, he's partisan. They've really gone sort of after him full bore. It's a little bit, I guess they think voters have amnesia, but maybe they do. But that's the thing. Republicans don't know what to make of it. They're curious. They always thought that Anthony Weiner was a menace to the Clintons, and you know, this Donald Trump of all people tweeted about a year ago that Weiner and who would bring it down Huma Abedin and maybe, you know, blow up the lid off the email scandals.
Well, he was certainly ahead of them. But insofar as what's happening within the, you know, parties at the moment, I know one of the interesting things in that ABC Washington Post poll that came out today was that of Republicans that were surveyed, 66% of them really did not like that Speaker of the House Paul Ryan was refusing to campaign with Donald Trump. Of the sort of the establishment Republicans that you may run into from time to time in D.C., are they worried that this Trump comeback could result in victory for him? And obviously he will probably take no prisoners if he gets elected?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. I don't think these establishment Republicans, most of them really want Trump to lose. Some do. But I think they've been afraid, you know, I think a lot of them are worried about their own skins. And all our friends and the elites and everybody telling, you know, Trump's this bad guy. Some of the more principled conservatives, you know, don't think Donald Trump's a real conservative. So there's not sort of one reason. There's different reasons these guys have come out, have been reluctant to support Trump. Paul Ryan and John McCain have kind of endorsed him and kind of not, you know, endorsed him, then unendorsed him. But, you know, the polls are tightening a little bit. And these establishment officials we're talking about, yeah, they've been lukewarm towards Trump. But if you look at why these polls are tightening in the last, even before this Comey FBI thing, Republicans are starting to come home. I'm talking about rank and file grassroots people. They're saying, all right, this is not the guy. This guy won my first choice at the top of the ticket, but he's a Republican. I'm a Republican. I don't want the Clintons there. And I think it's tightening. There's sort of an organic process here. Don't you agree?
No, I do. In fact, I have said for years that if you look at who wins elections, it comes down to 10%. If you're a Republican or Democrat, you have about 45% of the vote no matter what. And I think that's what we're getting to right now. But in looking at that 10% of where it's going right now, according to the latest poll, Hillary Clinton she's at 46%. So she's picked up one of those points. Gary Johnson's picked up 3. Jill Stein has picked up 2. That leaves 4% of the American people that have not yet decided. And those 4% are going to decide who wins. And I think they can be swayed by a variety of issues, but my thought is that when these are primarily low information voters, I believe, I think when they read a story that the FBI director is investigating Hillary Clinton and it may all get lost in the murky waters of the final days of campaign, I think when they hear FBI, they think that somebody is in trouble. And I think those 4% could be moved by that.
I agree with your analysis. And the four-way Real Clear Politics polling average, as of right this minute, we've got Hillary Clinton at 45%, Donald Trump at 41.6. So that's a 3.4% gap. If those independent voters and break in the last minute for Trump, if they finally just say, you know what, I can't take another Clinton presidency. I don't want her. I can't take another impeachment. I don't know what this FBI thing is about. It doesn't sound good. And they break for Trump, there might be room would be one of the greater upsets in history in terms of making up ground in a short period of time. But if you look at the math, it seems it's possible.
Jennifer is shaking her head. She's a Trump supporter. She's around the table. She's got a question or comment for you.
Carl, sure. I think that there's a big perception among Trump supporters that we've been suspicious of the polls for quite a while now, well before this scandal came out. And when we look at the polling data and the metrics that they're using, with the Democrat samples up by 8 and then independents often stuck at like 12% of the sampling, and margins of error in some cases are just really large and off the charts. You know, when we see the polls collapsing like this and all of a sudden it's this close race, it's not that a lot of us think that the Republican Party, all of a sudden people are coming home. It's that maybe pollsters are trying to regain some of their credibility in the final 2 weeks of this election so that when Donald Trump comes close to winning or does win, a lot of people don't have egg on their face. So I do have to kind of say a lot of us look at that reason that you gave that, oh, all of a sudden Republicans are giving him another shot. I'm not sure if that's a widely held perception among Trump supporters.
Well, and it's not sudden. It's very gradual. But most of these pollsters want to get it right. There are some partisan polls. You know, both parties do them. But I think most of the pollsters, what they want to do is be right. What their problem, Jennifer, is that, you know, these response rates are so low. You know, back when I first started covering politics, Gallup would try to get a 50% response rate. Now, if these, you know, with cell phones and blocked calls and everybody telemarketers, if they get 10% or 15%, they're lucky. And so these pollsters then have to massage their sample. Do we have, like you said, do we have the right mix of Democrats and Republicans? And some of it they just don't know. My own view about the polls, slightly different than yours, I don't think the pollsters' manipulations are the problem as much as if there's going to be a surprise election day to the establishment, it's that Trump attracts people who've given up on politics, that there's these independent voters out there, and a lot of times non-voters, they're disaffected, they think that both parties are kind of corrupt, and they're not being counted because they don't usually vote, and Donald Trump brings out a cohort that these pollsters didn't expect. That, to me, is the formula for a Trump victory.
Right. One of the other things, I think you aggregate polls. And by the way, a little bit later on in the broadcast, we're going to have your managing editor on. She's going to explain sort of how you go about aggregating polls. And one of the questions I want to ask her is the Los Angeles Times poll has been an outlier almost for the last several months, 5 or 6 months in this campaign. They have the race very close, even, you know, a month ago or the last several months. I want to find a little bit more about that, and we will be hearing from her a little bit later on in the broadcast. Carl, listen, thank you very much for being with us to offer your assessment of what's happening inside the Beltway this evening. That's Carl Cannon. He is the Washington Bureau Chief for RealClearPolitics.com. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly from Chicago.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night on Antenna TV.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
Bruce Schumann back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's go to Rick listening to us in Cedar Park, Texas, listening tonight on KLBJ. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I want to applaud your show. It is by far the best radio show going when it comes to politics.
Well,
I mean,
listen,
you always have both sides of the aisle.
Thank you very much. And I was going to say this a little bit later on in the program at the end, but I'll take the moment since you sort of set it up. I mean, one of the goals of this program has always been to present a beyond the Beltway perspective. We've always tried to have a balanced panel. Long before being fair and balanced, we've tried to do that for the show's been on for 37 years now. And again, just looking around the table, I said just a few moments ago to our guests off the air that I really appreciate. Many of them have been here for the last 18 months. Jennifer, you're relatively new to the team here. But again, we've tried to present a balanced discussion. We know that there's people listening on both sides of the aisle. And again, also just to comment on those people that maybe are throwing something at the radio, said, yeah, but you just said that voting for Hillary would be a terrible thing. Well, you know, as a talk show host, it's never been my desire to try to change your opinion. But I do believe that in many cases, we get into a campaign where the evidence is obvious. It's obvious what's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing to do. In this particular case, and again, I have been very critical of Donald Trump. I have grave concerns about Donald Trump. I really do. And his competence and who he's going to surround himself with and whether he has the ability to make the right decision. I really, really have that concern. But on the other end, and so I don't know what he's going to be like for president. I know what Hillary Clinton is going to be like for president. And in my view, that's a worse future for the country, including what I just said half an hour ago, is that I think so much of her presidency is going to be bogged down by ongoing investigations involving her, her husband, and just this litany and this history of what she has done in public office, which has led to, I mean, it isn't just a coincidence that almost for 25 years she's been under constant investigation. I don't think this country wants that for another 4 years. So that's my opinion. And again, I will still try to be fair and balanced when we're talking about Hillary Clinton. But that's the way I feel. But go ahead. I digress, but you gave me an opportunity to respond.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I was only want to point out that, you know, when Comey made his opinion made back in June about this whole email escapade, you know, he said that she definitely had classified information on her private server, and that's against the law. But there was no intent behind it. And I think that is what they may have found. They may have found intent in terms of dialogue between Uma and Clinton or somebody stating that they're trying to hide the fact that they did this. And I think because if he just found another piece of classified information, I'm not sure it would have rose to a level beyond what they already had. But if they found evidence that she was trying to hide this information or do something to keep it from being found out, that would raise the level to the intent, which is what Comey would have needed, is what he said he needed to, you know, go forward.
I think you raise a very strong possibility, and this is what I think they will be focusing on. You're right. If it's just more secret information or top secret information, that's sort of we sort of knew that. But again, the thing that, as you just stated, the thing that made him say no, it was the intent issue. And you're right. If they find that in conversations with Emma Uman on the Wiener laptop. That literally could be the bombshell. And by the way, I totally agree, as I said in the last hour, I totally agree that Hillary Clinton should have all of that evidence put out before people vote. I mean, we've got 20 people who have already voted. She deserves to have that information made public, in my view.
Well, it'd be nice since, I mean, it's Uma's computer. They have all of it. She could just turn it over herself, I would think.
I would think so, too, but maybe she doesn't want to do that. Thanks very much for your call, Rick. Let's go to John in Chicago, listening to us on WCGO. Go ahead. John, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that I think that the media, and unfortunately I would have to include your show in this, I think that the media has been derelict in not reporting a lot more than they have on what is going on in Utah in the presidential election. Because from the just few snippets of information that I've heard, it looks like Evan McMullen actually has a good chance of carrying Utah and winning Utah's electoral vote. And if that happens, then that would open the possibility. It's still a long shot, of course, but it would open the possibility that no candidate would win the majority of the electoral votes. And that then would send the election to the House of Representatives, and we could get someone other than Trump or Clinton.
I don't think you would get that because it would be the top three people that you would have to choose from, and Mr. McMullen might be one of the top three because he would get six electoral votes. The reason, by the way, and I would argue, disagree with you to some extent. You're right. We've talked briefly about it when he announced. We did a segment or two discussing him on this program. I think the national media in recent weeks has maybe given him too much exposure, including on television today. The sole purpose of his candidacy is to stop Donald Trump. The only purpose of his campaign. And so when you give him exposure and you don't give exposure to Jill Stein or you don't give exposure to Gary Johnson, who are on in 50, or the Libertarians are on in 50 states, this is part of Bill Kristol's folly to try to put a monkey wrench into Donald Trump's campaign. So I see through it for what it is. You may not. He may win Utah, although the recent poll as of today, he's in second place. Donald Trump still leads in Utah, and Hillary Clinton is running third. But I don't think that Mr. McMullen deserves any more exposure than he's received. But thank you for your call. Let's go to Matt listening in Los Angeles. He's listening to us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Go ahead.
Hi. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but a lot of us Republican voters, people who have never voted for Clinton in our lives, and we've had many chances, are not going to vote for Trump. We're going to vote for Clinton. And we're voting for Clinton because all of this stuff that you're talking about with emails is ridiculous. She's been investigated a million times. There isn't anything there. If there were, there would be something happening. And it's a pipe dream to think that she's ever going to be prosecuted for anything. Petraeus took classified information and handed it to his girlfriend. He got parole. We know nothing that bad happened. I mean, there's virtually no chance. So, and moreover, as a Republican, a voter in the past, I don't always vote Republican, it's just what Cheney did, what Bush did. I'm like a Colin Powell voter, right? What Cheney and Bush did back in with the Iraq War strikes me as being a lot worse than a few emails going the wrong way.
Let me ask you this, Matt. What is your what is your reaction to what Comey did? I assume that you're offended by what Comey said, but if you are hear me through, if you are investigating someone, don't you think that you should look at all the evidence before you make and render a final verdict? And he is arguing that there's now additional evidence that has come in that he wants to look at. What's wrong with that? Because it's possible. It may not convince you, but it is possible that there's a smoking gun in what was found on the laptop of Ms. Ooman and Mr. Weiner.
Well,
it's possible.
He has absolutely every. Not only does he have the right, it's his obligation to do so.
Right.
The problem here is that we're talking about coulda, shoulda, woulda, maybe. Come on. I mean, the reality of the situation is that Donald Trump's not remotely qualified to be president of the United States, and Clinton is. And I say that not as a Clinton supporter. I've never voted for the family. I didn't vote for him in 92, 96, never.
Christine Svensson, she is a reluctant Trump supporter, so she may agree with you partially. But go ahead, Christine.
So I'd like to address what you said about the Hillary Clinton issue. And another caller alluded to this as well. First of all, you don't need intent. You need just the mere the negligence, the recklessness of an unsecured server, classified information held in an unsecure manner, which is exactly what she did. And Mr. Comey even stated that. He just stated that he didn't feel like making a recommendation that she should be prosecuted for it. But that's exactly what he said that she did. She also destroyed, she's admitted this, she destroyed these secured emails with the bleach bit. Her lawyers did not turn over all of these emails. They did not read these emails. And she sent classified information on her server to other individuals. That is all illegal. So the fact that Mr. Comey decided not to make a recommendation to prosecute is just happenstance, but it is considered illegal.
Go ahead, Matt. Back to you.
Okay. You're very kind to let me speak more. Well, you know, the way I look at that is this sounds like the Roman Catholic Church about 1400. Yeah, you know, there are so many angels. Come on. I mean, if we've lived through a lot over the last 15 years since September 11th. We've seen a lot of people die, a lot of horrible, big, terrible things happen. This just isn't one of them. I mean, people are going to make decisions based upon real-life issues. And this is just, you're telling me there's an email that coulda, shoulda, woulda, maybe was illegal. I mean, it's just not enough.
Matt, we've got 9 days to go. Thanks for your call. 1-800-723-8029 from coast to coast and border to border. I'm Bruce Dumont.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
All right, we are back in Chicago, and we have some breaking news. Christine, I'll give you the bulletin. Go ahead, where is it?
The Daily Mail reports that Anthony Weiner's computer holds 650,000 emails on it, thousands of which, may relate to Clinton's private server. How they know thousands relate to hers, I have no idea. But supposedly
how
it has 650,000.
650,000, how would you even be able to? I mean, if you put, you know, filters, 1,000 FBI agents around the clock, are you going to get done by?
Oh, it'll take, it also adds, it'll take weeks and weeks to go through them all.
Yeah, that's.
Well, then
and at the end of it, there may be nothing that relates to her server,
could
potentially.
Be. Could be.
I mean,
and here's where I disagree
show me
with
the
you.
Evidence.
We may have an answer from Fairfield County, Connecticut. Tim, go ahead. You're listening to us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Nice to be on Satellite Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, it seems pretty clear to me that this is clearly a foreign government's try to influence our election. We talk about these emails from the DNC. But why aren't there any emails from the RNC? Are you telling me that the Russians can only hack DNC and that they can't hack the RNC?
Probably.
Doesn't that seem kind of strange to you?
Tim, could it be? Yes. By the way, there's the Russian plot, and then there's the FBI. The most recent stuff is the FBI. I don't think anybody has tried to tie Comey to Vladimir Putin at the moment. But
of course, not.
But in deference to your point. We clearly know, at least the major intelligence operating leaders in the country, they have said there is evidence that Russia was involved in some of the release of the information and the WikiLeaks that we've been dealing with for the last several weeks.
And don't you find that disturbing that one of the political candidates that's running for president of the United States that talked about a strong military and how he knows more than any of our generals? Is denying the fact that the Russians hacked into these emails from the DNC?
He does not take it like gospel, which I think you do. But here's my other question, and this is a what if. Is it possible, Tim, that the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign and John Podesta and Ema Uman, that none of them have taken cybersecurity seriously? And maybe the reason why the RNC has not been hacked, maybe they take it more seriously. Maybe the reason that Donald Trump has not been hacked, maybe the Trump organization as a commercial venture, maybe they take protection of their email more seriously than the State Department of the United States. Do you agree with that possibility?
I guess that's a possibility.
Okay.
I guess there's also the possibility that the Russians want to influence this election and make it go to Trump. Is that not also?
I totally agree with this. I said on this program 5 months ago, before all this hit the fan, I said Edward Snowden is sitting in Russia, and he may have some things up his sleeve between now and Election Day. Now, none of this has been tied directly to Edward Snowden, but he's still in Russia tonight. And again, certainly the information that has come out has been embarrassing.
Wow, I think that is
been embarrassing.
Huge. Gap or bridge to cross, assuming that this is Snowden responsible for this.
All I said, sir, it was 5 months ago, I said, what if? It was a what if. I didn't charge that was happening. All I'm saying is that in this particular case, let me ask you this question. The evidence has come out. They have said that the Clinton administration.
When you say they, please define who they are.
The Clinton political machine has said that the WikiLeaks basically can't be believed because they're, you've got to look at the source. They're from Russia. So that's been the MO of her campaign manager, floated that six weeks ago.
I think what they said was that not all emails could be believed, that they would have to take a look at each one to verify its authenticity.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
they said that.
You know what? What I'm having a hard time understanding is the idea that Russia is behind this email hacking. What you have to believe then is that Russia, Putin, actually would prefer to have Donald Trump as president. I submit to you that Putin would not prefer to have Donald Trump as president.
We don't know that, though.
Yeah,
there's no evidence of that.
What's the evidence that he wants Donald Trump instead of somebody who, in my view, he could pull a lot of stuff on, which would be Hillary Clinton. She's a target-rich environment for blackmail and everything else. Why would he want Donald Trump? That's my view on it. So I'm not buying it at all.
That's some kind of weird bromance going on. I mean, Donald Trump has been a little bit too complimentary of a guy who is a menace as a world leader and very dangerous to world stability.
We also can't underestimate the fact of the comments that Donald Trump has made about NATO. And we also know how Putin feels about NATO. So if he becomes president, if Donald Trump becomes president, then there are some potential implications that would actually be more favorable to a Russian agenda. Now, I think what we're focused...
And we should be offended if Russia is trying to interfere with our election.
We can be offended,
Just like other nations might be offended if the United States participates
in
their elections.
And that's the point that I'm making, is that the United States has a history of getting involved and manipulating and pursuing their agenda in other countries' elections. So I find it, frankly, off-putting that we're so shocked and clutching our pearls at the thought that Russia could be interfering in our election.
Of course they're interfering. Well, that's what their job is.
And on the subject of WikiLeaks, one of the WikiLeaks came out actually it was 2 days ago, emails where Hillary Clinton was talking about how they should have interfered in the Palestinian elections, how, you know, that is something that they needed to get involved in. We've had Barack Obama go over with the Brexit vote, trying to insert himself in that. We have, as you said, a long history of trying to insert ourselves in other people's business, and now the allegation that Russia's doing it to us, and it's such a horrible thing, which I don't even buy the allegation anyway.
Diane in Sacramento, California, listening to us on KTKZ. Nice to hear from the Golden State.
Oh, thank you. I just want to ask someone there, had Comey recommended an indictment back in June or July, would that have shut down all the information coming out? Because, frankly, I think he's brilliant. Because we are learning everything every day. We learn new things. And, you know, and so that we can decide as voters if she's competent or not. It wasn't up to him. He's not the judge, jury, and executioner for her presidential campaign.
Diane, let me go back. Let me tie my follow-up question to our previous caller from Fairfield County, Connecticut.
Okay.
Does it bother you if the Russians were behind the leak from WikiLeaks? Does it bother you?
Me? No. Unless they wrote them, unless they wrote the things that came out, no.
Okay.
I agree with that. I think that the focus on Russia's role or lack thereof has been overblown. It didn't negate the fact that there was tampering within the DNC to make sure that it came out in favor of the Clintons. So we're all looking over at the fact that Russia, the boogeyman in the corner, is hacking emails, but that didn't negate the veracity of what actually occurred with the DNC that influenced the outcome of the Democratic Party's elections.
I thought that the Clinton campaign has done a masterful job in muddying those waters.
Oh, yeah.
They've been able to say, oh, you can't trust them, it's the Russians.
Right.
However, when it's James Comey and the FBI and something that's on, you know, Anthony Weiner's laptop, that's not the Russians.
Right.
Vladimir Putin isn't involved in that.
But I think that we have two issues here. Yes, I expect the Russians to interfere, as it were, in our elections, however they can. That's just gamesmanship at
world politics,
the world actor, you know, level. What I'm more concerned about is the relationship of Trump to Putin in this dynamic. You wouldn't have had that with Romney, with McCain, with Bush, that the U.S. Republican candidate being so supportive of a guy who's a menace to stability in the world. The guy is a menace.
See, I'm with Phil on this. And I have found it troubling on many occasions when Trump has gone out and praised Vladimir Putin and also really been not altogether truthful when he says, you know, he has no relationship with him or I don't know him. And then, of course, you find out evidence that he had dinner with him. So I think it's a valid point.
Well, Trump says he has never met Putin before. And, you know, John Podesta is the one that has millions of dollars worth of business dealings with Russia. And Hillary's the one that we know through WikiLeaks did a $20 million uranium deal with Russia. So, and then, of course, a few years ago, there was this Russian reset button. Now they're practically the villains of the universe. You know, no, Romney and other people before would maybe not have had the same words to say about Putin. But, you know, that was kind of before ISIS really took over. And now we have a whole nother actor on the scene. And if Putin can be a partner with the United States in helping to combat ISIS, if we can just isolate it to that right there, there's a useful relationship that can be built on there. I don't think antagonizing, like the Democrat Party is doing, tremendous damage to a relationship with Russia that I grant you is already damaged. But to what end here? We've got a fight that's going on in the Middle East. It's here. It's everywhere across the world with an enemy that wants to kill us all. And we've got Putin, who really could be our ally in that situation. And we are looking, and the Democrat Party is looking at Putin like he's enemy number one.
Well, I think and he's not going to be our ally.
I think part of
Vladimir
it is,
how
Putin,
do you know this?
Vladimir Putin's first priority is Russia and what is in their national interest. We think that he's going to be our guy. It doesn't work like that.
He may not be our guy. He has just as much of an interest.
Amara.
I actually don't think that they would be an ally per se. I think every president that comes in has to develop their own relationship with Russia.
Right.
But I also think there are some international implications that I think the Democratic Party has an agenda. Part of it is to take some of the heat off Hillary Clinton, right, which is why they're not seeing it just from an international law sort of perspective.
Folks, thank you all for being with us.
The beauty of Amlink's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlinks now at 888-880-TREE.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. A reminder, next Sunday night we will be doing this program from Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin. If you'd like to be in the audience, all you have to do is RSVP at carthage.edu. RSVP at carthage.edu from 6 to 8 o'clock Central Time next Sunday night. We'll have a live audience and we'll have local politicians on all political stripes will be there. And again, it'll be our last broadcast of this campaign, and it has been quite a campaign. Emily Gooden joins us now. She is the managing editor of Real Clear Politics. She joins us from Washington. Emily, nice to have you with us on Beyond the Beltway.
Thanks for having me.
There has been so much focus on the presidential race. Obviously, control of Congress is important. What can you tell us about the likelihood of the Democrats taking control of the United States Senate based on what we know right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And frankly, Democrats are afraid that likelihood has gone down because with the announcement from FBI Director Comey on Friday, we've seen a lot of Republican Senate candidates use this to argue that you should vote for me. You should send me to Washington to be a check on Hillary Clinton and her administration. And, you know, polls and voting results have shown that Americans really like a divided government. And so Democrats are worried this argument could work.
And what about the House? Now, there has to be a switch of 30 votes in the House. Is it likely to get that difficult for Republicans?
It will be difficult for Democrats to take back the House. We expect them to pick up some seats, but not quite the number you mentioned. I think one thing that'll be worth watching is this new Republican class that comes in. It will probably be a very conservative class, and that could be a hard Republican class for Paul Ryan to manage. And keep in mind, the week after the election, all the newly elected members come to Washington for their new member orientation, and they'll be voting on who they want to be Speaker next Congress. So we'll know the week after the election how much trouble Paul Ryan is in or not.
By the way, I should mention that next week we are doing the show from Kenosha, Wisconsin at Carthage College. Mm-hmm. I just referenced it. We are doing it from the congressional district, the first congressional district of Wisconsin. So, again, there'll be a lot of Paul Ryan Republicans and maybe some Paul Ryan anti-Republicans that'll be part of that group next Sunday night on Beyond the Beltway. Emily, as you look at the campaign right now, we talked earlier when Carl Kennan was on the program. We talked about the important role that Real Clear Politics does in sort of aggregating polls, and they are now probably the most quoted poll in the country is the aggregate that you do. And I asked the question about the Los Angeles Times poll has always been somewhat of an outlier. I mean, for the last several months, they have painted a much closer race than some of the other major polls. Can you tell us a little bit about what is it that they're doing differently than everyone else, and how does that mix in with how you will go about aggregating polls every day?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what we found with the Los Angeles Times poll is they're talking to the same people over and over and over again, whereas other polls tend to do a mixed sample size. So I think that's why you're seeing some divergent results there. And it'll be interesting to see after Election Day who had the most accurate poll. And that's why we do an average, because it's hard to say who's had the most accurate poll.
Now, the last time in the presidential race, did Real Clear Politics, did you give a gold star to the one that was the closest? I mean, did somebody get the Real Clear Politics gold star for predicting elections?
No, we haven't yet, but that's a great idea. I'll have to mention it at the next staff meeting.
No, because, clearly you've got now also how frequently do you update your polls? Because obviously the ABC Washington Post poll that came out today, it didn't get all of the response the post-Comey letter.
Yeah, that's a great question. We update it every day. So every day it gets updated with all the latest polls out. And you're right. It'll take about a week before we see anything in the polls after this Comey letter.
We have heard about the October surprise. There have already been about three or four of them already. We've got one more day in October, and maybe there'll be some November surprises as well. Do you expect one or two more shoes to fall between now and Election Day?
Oh, my gosh. It wouldn't surprise me in this election, right? I mean, I was worried the Russians would release some more emails. I didn't know the October surprise would be Anthony Weiner. I mean, nobody saw that one coming. So who knows what we'll see in the next week or so. This election is just unlike anything I've ever seen.
Tell us, I asked this question last week when we had a reporter here from the Chicago Tribune, and the question is, when someone reads that WikiLeaks has put out 20 or 30,000 emails, or in the case of the Wiener laptop, supposedly there's over 600,000emails that are there, how does any journalist or any journalistic organization, how do you know even where to start to look for news?
Yeah, it's really hard sometimes, and all we do is a lot of what we do is sift through information and look at what's out there, and just every day there's something new, and we have to track it all. And we have really smart reporters at Real Clear Politics that do this, and we're lucky to have them.
I want to ask one question for those around the table, because this is the last broadcast you will be on, because we're going to be elsewhere next week. Right now, Amara Enya, who do you think the next president of the United States is?
I really
you got to pick it. Go ahead, Amara.
I have no idea. I a part of me thinks that Hillary Clinton will eke out a win, but I just think it's going to be very close.
Philip Beverly.
Hillary in a squeaker.
In a squeaker. Christine Svensson.
The Comey letter was a game changer. I thought Hillary was going to win, and it's now going to be Donald Trump.
And I think I know your answer.
Oh, Donald J. Trump for the win. Absolutely.
Close. or a big
no,
win?
Not close. Big win.
You don't think? Okay.
No, I do not think it's going to be close.
Next Sunday night, Emily, thank you very much for being with us. Managing editor of Real Clear Politics joins us from Washington, D.C. Thanks to our guests this evening, and also Dylan Clowkey and Colin Gottbobbitt and Dan Dorpin for their assistance in the production of this program. Don't forget, next Sunday night, live from Carthage College. If you want to come to the broadcast, it'll be live. Go to RSVP at carthage.edu. Until then, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
Everyone loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder-soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe. Catch fresh fish for dinner. Even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
The beauty of Amling's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlings now at 888-880-TREE.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels. Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Experience more history at museum.tv.